Welcome to the Wander in Germany podcast. Your host is the founder of the Wander in Germany travel blog and the Travel in Bavaria Facebook group, Leanna Brown.
Hey there, fellow wanderers. Welcome back to the Wander in Germany podcast, your ultimate guide to traveling stress-free in the land of sausages, castles, and autobahns. I'm your host, Leanna, and today we're diving into a topic that is a true traveler's dilemma: driving versus taking the train in Germany. So buckle up. Yes, that pun was intended, actually, because we're about to find out which is the smoothest ride. Do you see what I'm doing here? For your German adventure. Yeah, go ahead and expect quite a few more of these puns here. Now, today, I'm not going to deep dive all into the details and specifics of driving in Germany and all the nuances of taking trains in Germany, because those are full episodes in and of themselves. Besides, I don't really want to bore you with like learning words like Ausfahrt. Sorry, I've lived here for like 10 years and I still giggle. Yeah, so anyways, if you're not even going to be driving in Germany. So instead, we're going to do like a quick rundown of pros and cons to each driving and taking the train so that you can simply figure out which method of transportation is going to be best for you. Then I need you to go ahead and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, because next week, the entire episode will be completely all about driving in Germany. The rules, the Autobahn, renting a car, learning the signs, and basically anything else you might want to know about driving here. And then you guessed it, the week after that will be all about just traveling in Germany by train, including really getting into like the different passes, the ticket options, and like the importance of knowing the different kinds of trains, and obviously so much more. And before we rev up this episode, sorry, that might be the last one, I don't know. If you haven't already, make sure you go over to the actual blog, wanderingermany.com, where you can find all of this information and more as well. And if you found this podcast or any of my information valuable or helpful by you clicking on some of those links, like rental car links or even some of the Deutsche Bahn links, those are affiliates and they do help to support the work and effort that I put into making these episodes and creating the blog posts. So thank you in advance. All right, so let's hit the Autobahn, shall we? So you're planning your dream trip to Germany and you're faced with that big decision. Should you rent the car and hit the open road, or should you hop on the iconic Deutsche Bahn and just enjoy the scenery from the comfort of a train? So let's kick off by looking at the pros and cons of driving in Germany first. So, driving in Germany. Now, when it comes to driving in Germany, there's one word that usually immediately comes to mind, and that's, everybody say it with me, Autobahn. Yes, the legendary highway system with sections, not the whole thing, sections where there are no speed limits. It's basically every car enthusiast's dream and anybody with anxiety's worst nightmare. So there are a lot of pros to driving in Germany, and I'm just kind of going to run down this list real quick with you. So probably the biggest pro of driving in Germany is that freedom to explore. So with a car, you have the freedom to basically go wherever your heart desires and even go to those, as cliche as it sounds, those off the beaten path gems. And it just really gives you that flexibility, which is actually kind of like point number two, but that flexibility to go to even places that are a little bit harder to get to with train. The other big point, like I said, was flexibility, and that's not just on where you want to go, but it also gives you a ton of flexibility for your schedule. So I know so many tourists who come to Germany and they have a pretty tight schedule. Maybe they have 1 week, maybe they have 2 weeks. No matter how long you have, my bet is that you're trying to cram in as much as you possibly can. And while I have my own qualms about that in and of itself, that's a different episode also. But basically, with a car, you do have that flexibility to cram a little bit more in than if you were just to take the trains. Because with the car, I'm not saying it's always faster. It sometimes is, not always. But, you know, you're on your own schedule. So you can wake up at whatever time you want and hit the road as early as you want. You can drive as late as you want. Where with trains, sometimes depending on like how early it is or late or just really just the day, you know, you're limited to their schedules. It also just gives you that flexibility to do as you want. So you don't need to really pre-plan anything if you have a car, if you are that fly by the seat of your travel kind of planner person, then, you know, you see a cute village and you stop. Like, it's great to have that flexibility and freedom, where with the train, you're going to fly past that cute village and be like, oh, where was that? What was that? That was so cute. But you can't really get off because you're on the train. Now, another big pro to driving yourself through Germany is the scenic routes. Now, the countryside itself is gorgeous all throughout Germany, and you can actually get that with the train as well. So I don't think that just seeing the countryside is enough of a pro in and of itself. However, there are specially designed, basically like tourism routes that more or less like the German Tourism Board has put together. You've probably heard of the most famous one, the Romantic Road. And these are like quote unquote scenic routes that kind of have a theme to them usually. So for example, like I just said, there's the Romantic Road, which I also kind of have some qualms about. I think it's great for first timers, but I think it's also pretty overrated, which is why I actually created my own alternative to the Romantic Road, which I like to call the Under the Radar Route. I know it sounds really fancy. I don't have a marketer, so this is what you get with me. It's my really lame titles of things. So, you know, if you want that romantic route, you know, usually when you think romantic, you think cute, quintessential, charming, and you get that in some of the places, but I think it's pretty over-publicized. And so I wanted to create a quote unquote route that gives you actually all of those things and is much less off the beaten path. But anyways, there's other scenic routes too. There's like the Alpenstrasse, which is like this gorgeous route through the mountains. Or I think there's even like a cheese strasse or something in the Allgäu region. There's a castle route. There's a wine route, which I still have yet to do. I don't know how I haven't done this yet. My point is that these are things that you really do need a car with. Like the Romantic Road, as famous as it is not doable by train. You can basically hit Rothenburg and then take a train down to Neuschwanstein, which honestly, even if you're driving, those are the two main stops on the route I recommend anyways. But if you're wanting to hit any of those other smaller towns like Dinkelsbühl and things like that, it's not going to happen by train. All right, so now for the flip side of driving in Germany, there's obviously some cons as well. And I would probably argue that the biggest con to driving in Germany as a tourist is the cost of renting a car. Just the cost alone can be really expensive. And the problem is a lot of times tourists are just looking at the initial price of a train ticket versus a rental car, like maybe day by day, and they haven't even thought about the gas prices. Gas in Germany is so expensive. It is way more expensive than it is, for example, in the US, and it can really, really add up. So cost is actually a huge contributing factor to me saying that driving isn't always the best option. The other thing about driving in Germany, or I should say renting a car in Germany, is most cars are actually going to be manual. And so if you want an automatic car, that's an automatic price increase. And then sizes of cars is another huge one. So for example, if you have a group or you're traveling even as a family, you know, having to rent a van suddenly is going to cost three times as much as just renting a car. So it can really, really add up when just looking at a car rental price. Another big issue that I even personally have with driving in Germany is the size of roads. I mean, it makes sense, you know, like we're in a place that literally like has a 1,000-year-old town all over the place. And, you know, when it was built in the medieval ages, they weren't exactly building their roads for SUVs, right? I mean, they weren't even building their roads for cars. So, I mean, they weren't even building their roads for like horse and carriages at that point. So obviously these roads oftentimes are really narrow and small. And therefore, you're also going to be in a smaller sized cars usually. But when, even if your car is smaller and you're driving on this road that is small also, it can be like nerve wracking sometimes when there's hardly any wiggle room in between you and somebody else. And this is more on street driving or on the Bundesstraße, which is like the highways, not necessarily the Autobahn. The Autobahn is like driving on an interstate. Like anywhere else, it's pretty straightforward. Besides like the speed limit part, it's actually not very scary. And even with the speed limit part, it's actually not very scary. But we'll get into that later. But funny enough, the whole size thing is actually a pretty important topic. But like, let's go back to that whole size thing. So the other issue is parking spaces. So because cars are smaller here, oftentimes the parking spaces are really small. So even if you do have a smaller car, it still is going to be this really tight space that you are not used to parking in. Like I just went back to the US for a trip to visit family. And I remember pulling into a parking spot at the grocery store and being like, wow, this feels so luxurious. I've got so much space because I'm so used to having to like, even with my small car, having to like fit in and cram into this small spot. And it's talk about nerve wracking. I hate parking. I hate parking in Germany so much that if I can, I will bike or take a train somewhere. So where I live in Regensburg, if I can, I will just bike wherever I can so that I can avoid parking. And that's just the spots. The cost of parking is also really expensive. So parking doesn't always come with your hotel. A lot of the time, you actually, especially in the bigger cities, you actually have to pay for parking. And it's usually at a garage, and it's usually around 20 euro or so a night. And again, that's going to add up. And if you don't park at the garage for 20 euro a night, it's really hard to find parking on streets in the bigger cities. And there's, again, a lot of nuanced rules with parking, like certain meters, having to like buy little tickets to put in your windshield. And if you don't know that parking culture and etiquette and rules, it's pretty easy to do something wrong and, you know, oops, show up to a ticket on your car. Another thing about driving in Germany is the Staus, basically the traffic jams. So the Autobahn is lovely and amazing for so many reasons. However, if you get stuck in a Stau, we're talking like potentially hours worth of lost time. And depending on how bad the Stau is, like you could be at standstill. I don't mean stop and go. I literally mean standstill traffic. This is not an exaggeration, for hours. Now that's not super common. Like a Stau is common. So a traffic jam is common. The standstill isn't super common. But I want you to think about the Autobahn for a second. When you can drive in sections for as fast as you want to go, if there is an accident, it is usually pretty bad. And that's when like an Autobahn will pretty much shut down, and it could be shut down for hours as they clean up that wreckage, clean up whatever else they need to. And meanwhile, everybody's just getting backed up behind them. Now, again, like I'm not saying that to scare you, because that in of itself is not very common. In fact, I'm probably going to make up this statistic, so don't exactly quote me on it, but it's something like Germany has less car accidents per whatever, blah, 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 than other places. I know that was really scientific and factual. But my point is that even with high speed driving, that car accidents aren't super common. But my point is that when they are happening, they can be really serious. So again, not saying that to scare you, but yeah, Staus, both just like traffic jams. And oh my goodness, there is almost always construction somewhere on an Autobahn route that always slows down traffic. So, I mean, yeah, a Stau, you can pretty much just guarantee that you will run into a Stau at some point on your travel, and it will slow you down. All right, so let's switch gears here. Okay, I think that actually might be one of my last puns, but we'll see here. We're going to switch gears here and let's talk about the train. So before I actually jump into the pros and cons, I'm going to give this first bullet list kind of its own section of like question mark. Where do I put this? Well, let's just dive into it. Efficiency. This used to be a huge pro in traveling in Germany by train. I mean, there's a lot of stereotypes when it comes to Germany, but punctuality is not a stereotype. Punctuality is a thing, and you better be on time in Germany. So it's a little bit ironic that the trains have started to become much less punctual over time. And this has kind of been a hot topic for travelers, especially in recent years, especially I've personally noticed after COVID. I've even seen a bigger decline in punctuality, you know, canceled trains, late trains, things like that, when this used not be a problem. I used to swear, in fact, I think I even need to go and update my blog article, because when I originally wrote my blog article several years ago on train travel in Germany, I said, like, I've never been late for a train. Or that's not true. I've been late for a train. A train has never been late in Germany. And, you know, I feel like Deutsche Bahn did me dirty, because like I wrote that and then like several months later, it just started to go downhill. And again, I'm not saying that it's like the Autobahn and the car accidents. This is not a hard and fast rule. I've just been seeing, and not just me, this has become a, like I said, a hot topic in Germany, that Deutsche Bahn is not living up to its reputation of efficiency and being punctual. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't love taking the trains in Germany. In fact, it's my preferred way, even over driving. But I also have some caveats with that, and I'm going to kind of dive into that a little bit later. Because right now, I just wanted to get that out of the way, that it used to be that Deutsche Bahn had efficiency and punctuality in its pros list. And now I don't know where to put that, because some people will put it in the cons, saying, no, it's not efficient anymore. It's not punctual anymore. And that is something you really need to be taking into consideration, where I'm still kind of like, well, I don't know, like it works for me most of the time. And honestly, for me, like when I do regional train travel, which is the majority of train travel I do, you know, I'm not stuck on like a schedule. Let's talk about more of the pros, okay? So yes, maybe efficiency. Let's maybe put efficiency into the pro list. Another pro is German trains are reasonably really clean. And I really enjoy traveling on them because of this, because you know, even on busy trains, typically, you know, you go into the bathroom and there's actually toilet paper and just like overall, we're not like talking spotless here, folks, but it's public transportation. Like with that being said, it's clean, okay? So another big pro for me is just that relaxation part. You know, for people who really are scared to drive in a foreign country, which is totally understandable, being able to just sit back on a train is such a weight lifted off of them, to not have to worry about the driving rules, the driving etiquette, just the stress of driving somewhere, even just driving in the cities. Even if you are a good driver, sometimes driving in big cities is really stressful. So taking that off your plate for a vacation when you're supposed to be relaxing is a huge pro. And of course, you know, going through the countrysides and seeing the villages pass you by while you're sitting there, like you can drink a beer on the train, like sitting there drinking a beer as you watch these villages go by, is a really beautiful and wonderful German experience. And then, of course, you know, I'm going to be your resident hippie today and pretty much every day and talk about, yes, the trains are more eco-friendly. So that's a really good benefit of taking the trains as well if you are a little bit more into green traveling. All right, well, just like with the driving in Germany, there are obviously cons to taking trains in Germany. So let's kind of get into that next. I've already alluded to a lot of these, so we might kind of fly through some of this. But the biggest one I would argue is that limited access. So again, probably could have put some of this on the pros list too, but the trains and buses and public transportation in Germany gets you to some pretty remote places. So it's not so much that it doesn't get you there. It's more that it is harder or it takes a lot longer. So there are For example, the village that I lived in previously when we first moved to Germany, 10 years ago, less than like 2,000 people lived in this village, and yet it had a main train station on a main train line, and I could zip around to really wherever I wanted to. Back in the States, as a town that size would not even like have a bus station. I don't know. So that concept is a little bit hard to describe because, yes, there are trains and buses that get you to all corners of Germany. But the question is, how much time and effort do you want to put into that? So, for example, especially when you start getting into like the mountains and things like that, from Munich, I can drive down to some of the mountains in less than 2 hours. But by train, it might now be 3 or 4, depending on where I want to go, just because it's harder to get trains in mountain areas where there's obviously more streets and things like that. So the limited access, depending on where you want to go, can be difficult. Now, I say all that, but if you're going to like major sites, major cities, it's a breeze. It is such a breeze. It is so easy. And I highly, highly would put that in the pros list then. Another big con is the fixed schedule. So, you really need to stick to the train schedule, which depending on what train ticket you have or where you're going next is less flexible. I do also want to point out, not to be a broken record, but to go back to the punctuality thing. If this is truly becoming a bigger issue with Deutsche Bahn and is going to continue to be a bigger issue in coming years, I mean, fingers crossed they kind of get this figured out. But basically, if you are on a tight time schedule, so for example, if I'm in Munich and I need to be to Berlin by 2 o'clock because I have a tour that I need to go to at 3, I'm pretty reliant on that train to be on time. And so if you have those situations where like you really have to be somewhere in a certain amount of time, especially if it's longer distances that you have to cover, then that can be a con too. If, because you're fixed to that schedule, and if for some reason the Deutsche Bahn schedule is messed up, now you're messed up. All right. So at the end of the day, how do you even decide which option is right for you? And if you couldn't tell by now, I'm going to give you the cop-out answer. It depends. It depends on you. It depends on your schedule. It depends on your budget. It depends on how you want to see Germany. So unfortunately, when people always ask me, well, should I rent a car or should I take a train? I hate that I can't give them an answer, but it's also very personal to you. But if I like absolutely had to sum it up, I would say if you are all about like the flexibility, adventure, if you are short on time and therefore you need to maximize your time, if you, want to do that off the beaten path destinations, then yeah, driving is probably going to be your best bet. But if you're going to like the main bucket list sites, if you're going to Munich, Berlin, Neuschwanstein, things like that, then the trains are going to get you there, and they're going to get you there decently, efficiently, and they're a little bit less stress. Without having to rent a car, drive a car, learn the rules of driving, it's more eco-friendly. And so if that's the case, then I would say train travel is definitely the way to go. However, plot twist, I usually end up recommending to people to mix it up. So I tell people to rent a car for part of your trip and do the train travel for other parts. Now, the key here is figuring out when to do the train travel versus the driving. And for me, basically, I tell people, if you're going to be in a big city, don't have a car. There's no reason to have a car in the cities. There are great local public transportations. You can usually get from big city to big city really easily. And God, parking and driving in the cities is a nightmare. So if you can avoid that, then those days don't have a car. So for example, let's say you fly into Munich. Spend a few days in Munich, don't get your car, and on like, your third day or whatever, when you're ready to head down to the mountains or head over to the Black Forest or something like that, then rent your car. So obviously you're not going to like take a car back and forth to a rental place, but if you can minimize the days that you need it, then that's even better. The other side of that is, and I'm going to get into this when we talk about our driving episode, but if you have a car and you are going to a city, my biggest tip to you is to find a park and ride. Again, I'm going to explain all of this next week in our episode, but basically you are going to park on the outskirts of the city and it's way cheaper and the parking spaces are usually way easier to park in. And there's usually an S-Bahn right there. You hop on that and you zip into the city center in less than 10 minutes or so. And you just pay like a small daily fee to park your car out in, you know, a lot out on the outskirts. And then you just take the public transportation for the next few days while you're in the local city. And then you still have that car at the end of, you know, that city trip to then go to your next destination. So as much help as I wanted to be at the end of this, I hope that I didn't confuse you too much. Like I said, next week, I'm going to really deep dive into driving in Germany. And then the week after that, I'm going to really deep dive into train travel. So if you're still confused and you still don't know which option is best for you, then go ahead and, you know, make sure you've subscribed and you can go ahead and listen to those in the next 2 weeks to help you kind of really sift out and filter through the information to make the best choice for you. But hopefully with those pros and cons list, you know, it started to give you a little bit of a vision, a little bit of an idea of if train travel or driving is best. Now, you actually might be wondering, like, hey, Leanna, what do you do? And the reality is, like I said, I practice what I preach. Sometimes I'm driving. Sometimes I take the train. It really just depends. So, for example, if I'm staying here locally within Bavaria, I often am not on a real strict time schedule. So I'll hop on a train. I don't need a certain train because I have the Bayern Pass, which means, never mind, we're going to get into that. We'll get into the Bayern Pass in our train travel guide. My point is that it's easy, it's flexible, and, you know, I can get to most places that I need to in a short amount of time. However, sometimes, you know, if I am going all across the country, if it's not like two main cities that I'm going in between, it can be a lot harder. So, you know, I do like going to some of the smaller villages and things like that. So it is easier sometimes just to load up the car. And, you know, speaking of loading up the car, I do have a family. And so, you know, taking the train is really fun. Like, my kids love taking the trains, and the train is free under 6 years old for most passes. Some of them even go up to 15. Again, I'll go into that in our train travel guide. But my point is, you know, with kids, the train travel can actually be a really nice, affordable way to get around. However, you know, again, you're stuck to that schedules. And when we're talking kids and things like that, sometimes schedules and kids don't always go hand in hand. Or, you know, luggage, for example, you know, if you know that you have a ton of luggage with your family, or if you're just somebody who packs heavy, you know, and has a big giant suitcase, then no, taking the trains is not going to be for you. You're going to want a car. So, you know, for us, it depends. Like, are we going camping? Like, and we need to load up the car with gear, then yeah, we're going to take the car. But if we're, you know, going to a city nearby, then yeah, we'll probably take the train. So we really do look at each individual trip and decide, you know, cost-wise, is this best? Efficiency, is this best? And really, it boils down to the individual trip that we're taking. All right, well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Wander in Germany. I hope that this episode helps you to decide whether zooming along the Autobahn or relaxing in the train is right for you. And of course, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already to get notified of those future episodes that we were talking about with trains and driving. And you can also follow me on Instagram at wander.in.germany or on Facebook, just Wander in Germany. And until next time, bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.